Up.
And welcome back to another episode of the Wizards Podcast. I'm your host, Greg Finberg, and in today's episode, I've run out of words to describe this basketball team. The 10 games in are still inventing new ways to lose games. Whether they're up by double digits in the fourth quarter and somehow find a way to blow the lead, whether they lose by 34 and then the NBA actually changes it to 33, which we'll talk about later. Or like tonight, where they forget time and situation. Their head coach realistically forgets it. And it's a huge deciding moment in a game that they realistically could have won against the bad Dallas team, and they didn't. It is another game where they didn't snatch defeat from the jaws of victory quite like they did against Philadelphia and Charlotte, but they had a 7-point lead in the fourth quarter. And they ended up losing. 111 to 105 is your final from Capital One Arena. The Dallas Mavericks defeat the Washington Wizards after the Wizards went into Dallas and beat them in the second game of the season. We're just gonna jump right into the fourth quarter because I can't start anywhere else. It's so fresh on my mind. This happened like 10 minutes ago, and I still can't believe this sequence occurred. We're gonna, believe me, get into the meat of the game. We'll talk about Cam Whitmore, who played really well, and I thought Sarr was also great. Some flashes from Trey Johnson as well. But we have to start in the fourth quarter. First off, the Wizards were up 7, right? 94 to 87. Bob hits a 3. They have momentum. You blink your eye, 94 to 93. 6-0 Dallas run, timeout Keith. Will things change? No, they will not. 5-0 Dallas run is now 98 to 94. Then Bob hits a 3 and they go back and forth for a bit. But then you get to this sequence, right? And I want to make sure that I have everything correct. So I'm going to pull up the play-by-play because I'm so astonished at how this even happens. You have to flash forward to 45 seconds left in the game. Trey Johnson makes a tough bank shot from 11 feet. 108 to 105, Dallas leads. They take the shot clock down to 23 seconds. Brandon Williams takes a 7-foot jump shot. He misses, but the rebound gets tapped out to Najee Marshall, who, by the way, had 30 points. He was awesome. There's now 21.6 seconds left, okay, by the time Marshall gets the ball. That means that there is 14 seconds left on the shot clock, and I'm pretty sure they actually reset the shot clock with 23 seconds left, which meant that there was a 9-second difference between game and shot clock. Because once they miss the shot and they get the offensive rebound, if you don't know this, the shot clock doesn't reset like it used to 24 seconds. It's just to 14 seconds. So if you're an NBA player, let alone an NBA coach, you'd think you know that you have plenty of time to play the possession out. If that's anybody, you're like, okay, we have 9 seconds. If they miss, we're not going to foul and give them 2 free throws and probably make it a 2-possession game when we don't have to. Play the possession out. They're probably going to run out the clock and hoist a tough shot. You have timeouts. Force the miss, go down, and you can still tie the game or go for a quick two. But Brian Keefe, and I'm 99% sure this is what he was doing. I'll have to rewatch the replay, and I hope that somebody asks him post game. It seemed like he was screaming at Keyshawn George to foul, and Keyshawn had 5 fouls. So he's like looking over, like, "You want me to foul?" And it looked like Keith was pushing his arms up, like, "Get up, get up, get up." I don't know if that means foul. I don't know why he would want Keyshawn to get up in Najee's face, basically at half court, when all you need is a stop. Like, why else would he want that unless he wants Keyshawn to be aggressive for the steal and probably pick up a foul? And Keyshawn fouls. He fouls Najee Marshall with 17 seconds left. He fouls out. Marshall makes 1 of 2. The Wizards miss. Mavs make 2 free throws. That's the game. How a head coach doesn't understand, time and situation is beyond me. And I think it's a bigger moment because of how bad I think Brian Keefe has been to begin the season, how little adjustments he's seemingly able to make throughout the course of a 48-minute game. But it's just, it balloons when all of that is happening, and then you have a mistake like that. When you have an entire fan base that's actually basically questioning whether you're competent enough to be a head coach in this league, whether you're just the bridge coach for this young rebuilding team, and they'll kick you out the door the second they think that they can compete. You're not, if you're Brian Keefe, you haven't done anything to dispel those thoughts. And if anything, you've only done more to keep them going because he can adjust. He seemingly has no idea how to stop runs. He can't adjust to the adjustment. He has good game plans. The Wizards got out to a 16-9 start tonight. That's after they led Cleveland 13-10. But you blink, I mean, they're down 39-26 at the end of the first quarter to Cleveland. At the end of the first quarter against Dallas, despite holding a 7-0 lead, they're down by 11 points, 35-24. They went 5 minutes in the first quarter without scoring. I told you guys, I'm going to make a thread of every single time the Wizards are up by a lot and then they just can't score and the other team just goes on a huge run. You blink and it's like, oh, Greg, did you forget to update the Wizards score? You see, you have Dallas at 39. Where are the Wizards? I thought they had 25 5 minutes ago. Yeah, they still have 25. That's how bad it is. And that happened again in the first quarter. Just looking at my notes, like I mentioned, 16-9 start, Dallas timeout with 7:08 left in the game. 19-0 Dallas run. That's 5.5 minutes the Wizards went scoreless. There were two Brian Keefe timeouts in between that run. There was one in the middle, and then there was one at the end. It seems like that's a theme, right? If you're a constant listener of this pod, where you got the Keefe timeout to stop the run, but his adjustments aren't doing anything. Dallas continued to get defensive stops. They continued to score, and the 19-0 run just got bigger. Like, that is a lack of adjustments that's on the coach. And I mentioned earlier in game three, game four, maybe the young guys just aren't executing. But I also maintained if this continues to be a theme, then you have to put some blame on Brian Keefe if it's a consistent thing, and it's been a consistent thing. Because if you look at that thread, there's already like six, seven, eight different scores in there where you blink and seemingly the Wizards' 10-point lead is now a 15-point deficit. It happened tonight. It has happened all season. And it's got to change. I mentioned the one late in the game. It was 94-87. 6-0 Dallas run out of the timeout. Keefe calls a timeout for Washington. And then it's a 5-0 burst for Dallas out of that. It's just as if his adjustments to Dallas's adjustments are so bad that the timeouts mean nothing. It's just instead of being able to, deliberate that on the fly, he has the chance to talk about it for about 2, 3 minutes. And even then, his message, his adjustments are not working or not getting through, whatever it is, that falls on the head coach. And Wizards fans, if you watch games, you know Brian Keefe seemingly can adjust. He hasn't done anything to help that claim. And tonight was just, it was bad. It was the same thing. Again, and you can see the talent in this team. Like, they can compete with Dallas. With somebody that could have adjusted in this game as head coach, I think they win. Just like I think they beat Philly and they beat Charlotte and they probably have a chance to beat Boston. They're certainly not losing that game by 30 points, I can tell you that. So it gets to a point where, yes, they're tanking. I know that they're tanking. Yes, this result in April will probably only benefit, or May for the lottery will only benefit the Wizards. But look, they're 1-9. They could easily be 5-5. And you look no further than a head coach that has shown an inability to adjust in game, on the fly. He can't do it. Maybe he gets better as the season goes on, but we saw this a lot with Wes Unseld Jr., and it never improved, and he got fired. I'd be surprised, I'd be shocked actually, if they made any type of move to change head coaches mid-season, especially with Keefe under contract. I think that would just make zero sense. But it gets to a point where you're like, come on, man. Like, it's one thing for your adjustments not to work, but to tell your guy to foul when you're down three and there's an 8 second difference between game and shot clock, you have a timeout. You gotta be better than that. Like, if Keyshawn fouled on his own, that's one thing. He is only in his second year. It's an inexperienced play. Frustration foul maybe after giving up another offensive rebound. But look, guys, I'm 99.9% sure Brian Keefe was telling him to push up and foul, because I don't really know any other explanation for Keith to be telling Keyshawn to push up in that situation. That really wouldn't make any sense. Just an unthinkable foul in a crazy situation in the game they probably could have won or at least tied. They lose. It's their eighth straight loss. They are now 1-9, which again is the NBA's worst record. Nobody's really shocked at that. It's kind of how they're getting to these losses. Like I keep harping on that I'm honestly surprised at. Again, it's the 1-9, sure. How they're there is surprising to me. And after a certain amount of time, you gotta look at the lead man. You gotta look at the head coach who seemingly can't adjust. In terms of individual performances, like best game is a wizard for Cam Whitmore. I know we talked a lot of negative stuff in the beginning of the pod. Cam was great. 19 points is a season high. I believe he finished 7 of 13 from the field, played some big minutes down the stretch. I'll fact check that 7 of 13 real quick. Yeah, finished 7 of 13, 3 of 6 from 3. You know, a very efficient night from Cam. 19 points, second highest on the team, 3 boards, off the bench too in 29 minutes. I really liked how he played. And I tweeted out the other day, yesterday, because he had played 16, 11, and 5 minutes in the last 3 games. 5 was a season low. Keith said, and post game, shout out to Varun Shankar, the post, for actually asking him the tough question. But he kind of worked around it. He was like, it doesn't have anything to do with like his outbursts at Cam or anything like that. He just said they wanted to get guys like Jahmyr Watkins opportunities. Like, sure, whether you believe that or not, Cam didn't play a lot against the Cavs, but tonight he played nearly 30 minutes, which again is more than Champ Henny, who started and played 12. And that's another thing, okay? I've talked a lot about Champ Henny and how he's a winning player and how I think the team plays better with him on the floor. Justin Champ Henny, there was only, what, three, four Wizards that were in the positives, plus minus. Nobody more than three, apart from Justin Champ Henny, who in 12 minutes was a plus 11. He had 5 rebounds and did nothing else. No points, no field goal attempts. But he impacted winning. He was the team was better with him on the floor, yet with the game on the line, where is he? Not in the game. So look, I was talking about Champ Henny for a second, kind of got on a detour, but Cam was great. Got to the rim. I thought he played in control, picked his moments when to be aggressive. There were two different plays. He attacked Cisse at the rim and he got stuffed both times, and those were kind of, erratic drives. But other than that, like the threes were all in rhythm, I thought, and he got to the rim pretty consistently and finished when he got there with 2 feet in the paint. So have no complaints. And the defense was good too. I really liked how he played on that end, the aggression he played with. No complaints. Really good game from Cam. I thought Alex Saar had some moments. The hands are bad. I was watching with my roommate, who isn't the biggest basketball fan, but the one comment he kept making is, why can't 20 catch the ball? Like there were just times that, and I thought Saar got hacked a bunch down low and they didn't call it. But nonetheless, there still are times, right, where he needs to just calm down, catch the ball, take a breath, and go up strong. And I thought he did that a lot of times tonight. When he gets offensive rebounds now, he's going at the guy and not fading. But it's another performance, like 17, 6, and 5 on 6 of 16 from the field. That's an unbelievable 3 blocks, 2 steals. That's terrific Alex Saar performance his rookie year. And I feel like Wizards fans are a little numb to that now because he's been so great this year. But again, 0 of 3 from 3, that's now 0 of 7 from 3 over his last 2 games after 45% through 8 games. So again, a little bit of regression there. 37% from the field, not great. But I thought his activity at the rim, he blocked Cooper Flagg. I think Cooper Flagg tried him, I don't even know how many times. Three maybe, and I think Saar blocked him every time. They didn't give him a block for the second one, but he met Cooper at the rim and he won that battle each time, never fouled. So again, I think this is the ninth game in a row for Saar with two plus, at least two plus blocks, which is right now the league's longest streak. Like that's awesome. So rim protection was there. He got a couple steals, as you saw. The defense was great. I liked his activity down low. Again, have no complaints about that. Look, CJ McCollum had 25. 23 of those were in the first half. He was 8 of 12 in the first half. In the second half, he was 1 of 7. I thought, look, I can maybe split his game into two. Like, he had 11 in the first quarter, 14 in the first quarter. I thought he was awesome. In the first half, he was efficient. He got to his spots. The team was playing well when he was on the floor. His defense was great. I'll talk like he stripped Cooper Flagg multiple times. He stared him down on one. My friend Bijan Todd tweeted out that screenshot. It was pretty funny. I didn't mind CJ most of the time on defense. I thought he played with good activity, good fight on that end. But there were a couple times in the second half where I think he was a little too aggressive. There was one play in particular where he dribbled out like 18 seconds of the shot clock and didn't pass anyone the ball. And this was with like a decent amount of time left in the fourth and just chucked up a mid-range contested shot. I didn't like that. But again, the last couple of games, I think 25, I don't know if he had 25 against the Cavs, but he had 25 tonight. So he was good. He kept Washington afloat offensively. So I can't really complain. I like this defense. So definitely had some poor moments down the stretch and in the second half, but overall, I wasn't too upset with CJ. Obviously one of the better games, which not the highest bar, but no gripes there. I thought Cam, CJ, Sar, they were pretty solid. Apart from that, 10 points, 5 boards for Bagley off the bench, but his defense was pretty bad. Trey Johnson got another start. He had 9 points on 4 of 13, 1 of 6 from three. Like, he had some moments. He also had 9 rebounds, which was fantastic to see. That was what I liked about his game. But 3 turnovers, again, the turnovers were still an issue. Obviously, a really inefficient night for Trey in the starting lineup. So don't want to talk too much into his performance. We got to talk about Bob Carrington. We have to talk about him. I like I start all of these with Bob. I feel like I'm not giving up on him. He's 20. He's a young 20. He's in his second year. He's still learning a new position. Let's get that out of the way. But with that said, he's been horrible this season. He's been absolutely terrible. Last game, I don't know if he scored, and he was a minus 22, or he did score, sorry, 2 games ago. I don't think he did. But last game against Cleveland, again, you didn't have my recap from that. And I'll talk about that more in a second. But Bob Monumental put this graphic up from his night against Cleveland. He had, I think, 6 points, 4 rebounds, 11 assists in 28 minutes. You're looking at that and you're like, wow, 11 assists for a 20-year-old? That's awesome. But of course, with what most of what Monumental puts out, you got to look more into it. And what you don't see in that graphic is that he shot 2 of 7 from the field. And also that he was a minus 22 in those 28 minutes. He did not play particularly well against Cleveland. Like I mentioned, 11 assists to 2 turnovers. I tweeted that out. That's awesome. A 5.5 assists to turnover ratio is great for a young player. But the minus 22, the 2 of 7, those numbers are important too. And so now looking at it against Dallas, he had, I think in his first 9 minutes, he was a minus, definitely minus double digits. He was on the floor for that 19-0 Dallas run. He also had 4 turnovers in those 9 minutes. Had another one late in the game. It's poor decisions on these pick and rolls. He'll premeditate, I'm going to throw the lob off this instead of actually reading the defense. Denny did that a bunch too before he learned. But you get to the pick and roll and they're giving you the floater, bub, or the mid-range. Take it. But he seemingly is just like, I'm going to just pass it to Bagley. And it got picked off. He had a skip pass to the corner in the second half, not open, picked off. Had a couple times where he had the ball ripped from him. He dribbled it off his foot. He just can't find his rhythm. Now, 5 turnovers was bad. Again, minus 14. He had 9 points. He had, 2 pretty big threes in the fourth quarter. Finished 2 of 5 from three, 2 of 7 from the field, 3 boards, 2 assists. Again, I don't know what to tell you. If you tell me that he played well and he played with energy and high intensity, you got it, bro. That's not me. We're not gonna do that here. He has been awful these first 10 games. Yes, there has been flashes. He's not gonna be all bad. But in the grand scheme of things, he's been really bad. The good news is he's only 20 years old and the Wizards aren't trying to win a ring right now, so it's not the end of the world. But it is worth noting that he was pretty bad. Again, last thing, Malachi Branham also got more run 10 minutes. I thought he was all right in his 10 minutes. I don't really have much to add. Keyshawn, 10 points, 3 of 9 from the field. Again, 6 fouls. He's averaging 5.5 per game, I think. This is the second time in 10 games that he's fouled out. Brian Keefe continues to say it's not an issue, and I don't think it's an issue. He's only 21, but right now it's an issue, and it seemingly hasn't been solved. I think Bilal playing would give him another defender to take some of the pressure off him. Maybe that would help. But he just keeps fouling, and you can't do that in the NBA. So again, it's that's kind of all I got from this game. I mean, I talked about the foul. I'll just go back to it. It was just, how do you do that? I'm still like, I don't know how you foul there. You're down three. There's a 9 second difference. Again, I don't want to, I touched on it earlier. I'm just caught up on it. But that's kind of my recap, my thoughts on another loss, the Wizards' eighth straight loss. Maybe this isn't another losing streak. They got a game against Brooklyn at home coming up. You would hope, honestly, that they can win that game. But again, I mentioned it, like, games like this, I've said this before, is why I was low on the Wizards' win total. I think I had them at 19 wins. It's why I have them at 19. Like, I think as the season goes on, they'll be able to pick up some wins, and maybe you'll see, like last year, there's like a 2-3 game win streak, and a couple of them even. And they'll pick off some upset wins that you don't expect, like when they beat Dallas, when everyone thought Dallas was good. You'll see some of that. But to this point, like, I had people 4 games ago, telling me play-in. Somehow people telling me like 19's way too low. They're gonna be in the late, high 20s. Come on, guys. Like, you gotta, if you watched all the games last year, like I did, you know what this team is, you know what their goal is, and when you know that, you're not surprised that they're losing all these games. Like I mentioned, I'm kind of surprised at how they're getting there. I didn't think they'd actually play this well for stretches. Like, they've looked awesome at times. It's just they can't sustain those stretches. They can't adjust. And that's kind of why they're 1-9. So 111 to 105, Dallas defeats Washington. The Wizards are now 1-9. This is their eighth straight loss. That's going to wrap it up for my Dallas recap. Again, like I mentioned, I wasn't able to recap the Cleveland game because I had things to do after the game. I know a lot of you people listening are like, Greg probably has no life outside of the Wizards if he's able to live tweet every game and put out a post-game pod for mostly every game. And you know what? You're honestly not too far off. I do kind of live this team, but I did have something else, so I wasn't able to do a recap of the game, but luckily it's a back-to-back. And I'm actually glad I waited, because today they came out and said that the Wizards 148 to 114 loss was actually a 148 to 115 loss. Like, they added a point, the NBA announced today, because when it was 53-39 in the second quarter, Trey Johnson made a free throw that the NBA didn't count. And so they were like, my mistake, we'll add it. I have so many questions. I'll first start off with, like, how do you miss that if you're a statistician? How does that go missed? How do the refs not catch that? And, like, let's say it was a th not even, I've seen the argument, like, what if they lost by one? Like, do you rescind the game? Do you replay the game? Like, how do you even do that? My question is, like, what if it was like a 3-point game or like a 4-point game with like 5 seconds left? Like, that changes the strategy of the team, where the Wizards are going for a three when they maybe should be going for a two, and vice versa. You know what I mean? There's so many just head scratching things about it. Honestly, I think the most concerning thing about it is that nobody on the Wizards staff noticed it. None of the players, none of the coaches, nobody caught that they didn't get a point at it. And what I think when I hear that is, this team is so unconcerned with the score and like wins and losses that they're so detached from that element. Like, if they were competing and they were trying to win games, I think they would have noticed that they didn't get a point added. But because they don't, I don't think they care as much as most teams about these scores. Like, they're gonna compete. I'm not saying they're not gonna, but how nobody caught that seems to me, it screams to me that they're just kind of detached from like the general score of games. Like, they're trying to develop, they're trying to compete, but how nobody on the team catches that is beyond me. Those were just kind of some of my thoughts on that, other than the fact that the NBA somehow missed that. They dropped the ball. And it's big. The memes on that post that I made, where I was like, the Wizards 34-point loss is now a 33-point loss. Like, it means nothing at because the, you know the, it was such a blowout. It's just like, what would have happened if it wasn't? Like, what do you even do then? So that was pretty funny. A lot of memes flying. A lot of Chris Paul when he hit the shot for the Suns to cut the lead from like 37 to 34 against the Dallas against the Mavericks in the playoffs. So a lot of those gifs. So I mean, pretty funny, but honestly crazy that nobody caught that. So it's big. The Wizards only lost by 33 points, guys. I know you all concerned that they lost by 34. But pretty solid loss when you think about it. 34 is one thing, but 33 is definitely definitely an improvement. So, very interesting development. Doesn't matter. They got blown out by the Cavs. Again, lose a winnable game against the Mavericks, and now they're 1-9. I'll be back. I'm just pulling up their schedule real quick. They are at Detroit and at Houston, loss, loss, and they're home against Brooklyn. So my best bet is the losing streak extends to 10. They are 1-11 by the time they return home against Brooklyn, and that's a game that you'd hope that they win, right? And I'll be back to recap that one. So again, thanks for listening for this to this episode. I still can't explain 30 minutes later why they fouled up when they were down three. Maybe Keith will, and I'll tweet that out if he does. But certainly, an interesting end of the game, and another game that I thought the Wizards could have pulled out, and they didn't. That's thanks to coaching. That's thanks to inexperience, and kind of thanks to how this season was always bound to play out. So 1-9, 8 straight losses. That's gonna do it for this episode. Thanks for listening. Go Wiz.